You can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with two verses there. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 13. It says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed," listen to this phrase, "having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. And I want to talk to you this morning about what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And my title this morning is Guaranteed by God. The moment we believed, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit seals us. And we are branded at the new birth by the Spirit's seal of ownership of us. The seal is sort of like the Father's fingerprint, branding us so that forever, from that moment when we first believe on Jesus, and for the rest of eternity, there should never be a doubt we belong to God because of our faith in Christ. That seal seals the deal. And it's mentioned several other times in Scripture. It should be very important to every believer. Another mention is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation stands, having this seal." There's that word again. "The Lord knows those who are his." Now, that's what the seal is all about. The moment we expressed our faith in God through his son Jesus, it was a faith thing, nothing to do with works. We could never pay for it, earn it, deserve it. It's a free gift. It's not even a reward. It's a gift. All we have to do is by faith believe in Jesus, and at that very moment, the sealing occurs by the Spirit of God, and from that point forward, we are confident that because of the seal, the Lord knows we are his. It should never come into question again. The seal was used in ancient times by kings and other people of means, wealthy people. A lot of times it would be a ring, a signet ring. There was a seal, perhaps an imprint, an insignia. It could be a family crest. But on the signet ring of a king was a unique imprint. And when the king wanted to make a decree or pass a rule or a law, or even anybody taking care of business, they would seal the deal with their ring. And God is saying, when the Holy Spirit sealed you as soon as you believed on my son Jesus, I claimed you at that moment for my own. I put my stamp on you. I put my name on you. You belong to me from that moment forward because of the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's something that he takes very seriously. Many believers are not aware of it or take it lightly. But it's his brand on us. People should be able to tell when they see us or talk with us for just a few minutes that God is the one who owns our life. We've been sealed by the Spirit of God. Now, this signet ring represented authority, ownership, responsibility, and security. And people would transact business by using their seal or their signet ring. And the use of a seal marked ownership of whatever property the seal was imprinted upon. And that's the same way it is when we believe on Jesus. God gets involved in our life. Immediately he releases the Holy Spirit to start his work on the inside of us. And so that everybody will know, he seals us. And that seal is not just a seal of ownership. It's a seal of guarantee. God is saying, as soon as we believe, we don't even know much about everything God has. Never do learn it all. But even in our rawest form, when we were so immature in the things of God, from the very moment we realized, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. From that moment, that's all it takes for God to put his seal on us. And it is his mark of ownership. He takes us just like we are. Aren't you glad? I remember growing up, I remember growing up at a small church, and the people meant so well, and they were godly people in every way, but I remember back in that day, much different than today, we'll let you come to church looking anyway, wearing anything. But back in that day, in our circle, if a woman dressed a certain way, it wasn't appropriate anytime, but especially for church, and a lady showed up visiting, and the power of God pulled on her, and she went to the altar to get saved, and people were praying for her, and one gentleman in the church stopped everything and said, young lady, if you'll go home and take that makeup off your face and put on some decent clothes and come back, the Lord will save you. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he will take us just like we are. We don't have to do anything for him or prove anything to him. As soon as we believe on him, the Holy Spirit seals it, and he puts his stamp of ownership upon us. And it doesn't mean he owns us now. This seal also is a guarantee. God is saying the day we're born again, this is just a little bit right now. You can't handle everything I've got for you today. But I'm going to give you my spirit, and it's going to guarantee that everything in the inheritance that comes to you will come to pass. So the Spirit of God sealing our faith at the new birth is God's guarantee that the full inheritance of everything the Father has is coming to us. We just can't take it all at one time. Now, the use of a seal was like putting a lock on a door. There have been a few times in my life when I've been given an envelope and it was sealed. It was sealed with a certain insignia, and that let me and everybody else know the owner of the contents put this here, and nobody has been able to get in here or we would know about it. The seal would be broken. I've had that given to me one time, especially on a will. Somebody wanted me to keep a copy of their will, and it was sealed. They didn't want me to see what was in the will, and that's fine. But God says, I'm going to put my seal on you, and you better find out all that's in the will, because I guarantee you by this seal, everything that you've got coming to you as an inheritance is on the way. And it's like putting a lock on the door. The seal keeps some things out and keeps some things in. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that good thing is what begins with the seal. Having faith in God and believing on his Son, then we are sealed by the Spirit of God. That's when the Holy Spirit begins the good work. And we have a guarantee by God that the good thing he started in me and in all of you, he's going to keep it up until it's perfect and complete. And the Spirit working in us right now, how many know the Spirit is working in you right now? That spirit at work is the guarantee that every promise God has given will come to pass. This is just a little bit right now. The seal means we're God approved, God endorsed, and we're notarized by the Spirit of God. I mean, there's a legal posture that is given to us as believers because of this seal, approved and endorsed by God. And then when God puts his seal on you, he is saying, I am now responsible for you. Aren't you glad that we have a God who takes responsibility for his children? That mark immediately says, the Lord knows who belongs to him. Look at that mark. And he owns us now, and he takes responsibility for us. Now, in this Ephesians chapter 1, I'm telling you, if you want to start a personal revival in your life this week, just personal, read the book of Ephesians and start, of course, with chapter 1. Already, before we get to this powerful verse about the Holy Spirit sealing us and it being God's guarantee of our full inheritance, already in chapter 1, he uses phrase like this, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. It talks about our being adopted as a son. It says we've been made acceptable in the beloved. Already, this great news earlier in chapter 1. It talks about the forgiveness of our sin. It tells us that he has made his grace to abound toward us. And he says our inheritance includes the promises that all things will work for us according to the counsel of his will. All because of his seal. It's God's guarantee of all that he has promised. We'll move quickly to another scripture that confirms this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now look down at verse 22, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, the beginning of the Spirit's work in our life that starts the moment we're born again, it's our deposit. God gives us his Spirit as a deposit, as a guarantee that the full package is just ahead for all of us. That's why Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Some of us walked in here today, I've never paid much attention to it, but there's a whole doctrine about the sealing of the Spirit. It's just as relevant and powerful and true as justification, redemption, regeneration, sanctification, all of the other things that begin at work in our lives at the new birth. And the sealing of the Spirit is just as important because the Spirit work, I can tell when the Spirit's working in me. I know it. I have a witness. There are times when I'm just stopped in my track and realize, oh, this is a God moment for some reason, right? Holy Spirit up to something, and he's got a lot on his hands straightening me out. His job description is heavy because it's his job to take somebody like me and you and reproduce the life of Christ in us to the point that we could be able to say, like Paul said, it's no longer Paul living. It's now Christ living in me. And so we should not grieve the Holy Spirit, the one whose job it is to go to work and bring all the inheritance into our lives. It begins with the seal. It's a guarantee. God's saying, I'm going to brand you today. Today's the day you've exercised your faith to believe my son to save you from your sin. So I'm putting my seal, that's my Spirit at work right now, going to work in your life. So we should not grieve the very one who will bring all of the inheritance to us. And then the King James Version uses, instead of the word guarantee, uses the word earnest. Earnest money. The Greek defines the word earnest as a pledge. God making a pledge. When he puts the seal on you, he makes a pledge to you. A pledge, a part of the purchase money given in advance as security for the rest. The seal is God's guarantee that he's got so much more that's on the way to us. Now, the seal keeps some things in, what the owner put there. And the seal keeps some things out. You cannot break the seal coming in or going out. This past week, the world was captured by the crippling news of coronavirus. I'm telling you, the seal keeps some things out. And fear is one thing that the seal keeps out. Fear. Now, I want to be balanced in this because I believe in washing your hands with soap. I believe in taking precautions. I believe in common sense. And I think we should be aware when something like this happens. But we should never give in to fear and panic. Now, some of you need to get over fear and panic right now and say a better amen. I say we should never give in to fear and panic. On the news this past week, Disney amusement parks in China, Japan, and Europe are like ghost towns. Where there are usually millions of people, there is nobody there. I saw in Europe on the news a huge stadium. I think it was soccer stadium. And the stadium was empty. They would not allow the people to come into the stadium. They did allow the two teams to play on the field, but the stadium was empty for fear that the coronavirus would spread. Players on the field, no fans in the seats. And in USA Today this past week, this was early in the week, the headline was Dow plunges 1,000 points as coronavirus causes cases outside China jump. Well, now that was the headline one day. The next day it was the same thing, another 1,000. And the day after that it was about 1,300. The bottom line is the stock market in the United States lost $12 trillion this week, all because of panic and fear. Please hear me and balance. We should be precautious, but we should not panic. $12 trillion in the stock market. One faithful lady in our church came up to me this morning before service in this room and said, I lost $20,000 overnight, but it's all good. It'll come back. I think she's got her priorities straight. She knows about the seal. Her inheritance is coming to her. The Spirit is the guarantee that the full inheritance is on the way. And so, should we take precaution? Yeah. But should we panic? No. Why? Because the seal is strong enough to keep fear out. Now, don't leave here thinking, I'm against taking precaution. I'm completely on board with that. But I watched the news and I realized, I remember when Ebola was the thing. And it would grip you with fear if you let it. And what happened was there were 2 or 3 weeks where the news was nothing but Ebola, and it came from some other continent and made its way here, and there were 4 or 5 in New York and the whole. And then what happened was, I remember, one day they stopped carrying it on the news. And about a few days later, I said, I wonder whatever happened to that Ebola thing. And so it was the same way with SARS, same way with MERS. And so let's take full advantage of the fact that God has sealed us, and fear cannot break the seal. I should also say, because I am human and I do have a heart, certainly the people who are affected. The death in Washington State, that's a very real person with a very real family. They're hurting today. So we have a heart for people who are suffering, but we just should not give in to blanket panic as a nation. Amen. Okay. Fear. What are you afraid of? The seal should keep it out. Some are afraid of failure, fear of failure. Some of you would attempt to do more if there were not a fear of failure. And I saw a meme that made its rounds this past week. It goes like this. I asked God, why are you taking me through troubled waters? And he replied, because your enemies can't swim. And so no need for fear of failure. No need at all. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of being judged? The truth is, because of this seal, we've already been judged. And we were found guilty. And we were sentenced. And then we were sealed and pardoned. So no need to give in to fear of being judged. And then the most popular fear, the fear of death. Here's what God's word says about the fear of death. In Hebrews 2:15 says, he delivers them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So when this sealing occurs and the Spirit begins his work, and with it comes a guarantee by God that every promise, every bit of your inheritance is on the way. This is just a little down payment of what God has for you. The rest is on the way. This is enough right now to guarantee you. I'm serious about it. I'm going to purchase the full thing and give it to you. This is just all you can handle right now. But even the fear of death can't break the seal. Even the fear of death can't break the seal. So I want to share with you the lyrics of a song that was written in 1918. It's been around over a century. And if you grew up in any church of any denomination, you probably had this song in the hymn books. It's Living by Faith. Now, that's the opposite of fear. Fear seals, or the seal makes it impossible for fear to get in. But the seal guards our faith, living by faith. Listen to these words. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worries are vain. Wouldn't that be good if we lived that way? The chorus goes, living by faith in Jesus alone, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Boy, that's a shelter, isn't it? Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I've never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Now, when you put a deposit down on something, it means you're guaranteeing the full purchase price. I've done that before In fact, I think when we bought our house, we were at closing, or no, we were at a meeting with a realtor, and they said, well, yeah, we will take that house. We want to buy that house. Well, we didn't. That woman could not handle all that money at one time. So we said, we're going to give you a deposit. And I think it was $1,000 or whatever. But when we gave the deposit, now the house cost a lot more than that, but the deposit was a small amount. But when we gave the deposit, it guaranteed the seller, they're going to get this house. They think this is their house. And we've got a guarantee from them. Well, our guarantee turned out pretty good. We bought the house. But God's guarantee is much better than ours. If he guarantees something, then it surely shall come to pass. And the seal of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. It's the earnest money. It's the deposit. It's the little bit up front that guarantees by God, oh, I'm gonna purchase you outright. I'm going to pay for everything. I'm going to give you every promise and all the inheritance that comes to you. I now am your owner, and I'm taking responsibility for you. I'm sealing you. Some things can get in and stay in. Some things will get out and stay out because of this seal. And so that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like that deposit. We don't have all of God yet. I remember there was a doctrine a few years back when you get saved and sanctified and baptized in the Holy Ghost, you've got all of God there is. That was a doctrine that made me, oh, honey, we could never, not in this world, get all of God there is. But because of the seal of the Holy Spirit, that's a guarantee. It's a reminder every time there's a witness of the Spirit going on in that all God has for us, he's not forgotten. It's on the way. He's got the Spirit of God working in us, and that's a guarantee. That's the earnest money. That's the down payment that the full thing is on the way. Just can't handle it all yet. One translation said, the Spirit himself makes the down payment of an earnest deposit which guarantees all the promises pertaining to the future. Now, one thing that the seal signifies is ownership. The seal of the Spirit confirms that we're God's property. This is scriptural. The Bible says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. And I just want you to know, you should know your worth. That's a problem with people who suffer from low self-esteem, and none of us are God, but we were created in his image, and we should have a healthy self-image. We should believe in ourselves a little bit if God believes in us as much as he does, because we are not our own. We were bought with a price, and I want you to know God, when he purchased you and put his seal of ownership on you, he did not find you on the 50% off rack. He didn't find you in a discount bin at Walmart, and we're still thanking God for Walmart. No, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, and he paid full price for you. And he owns you. The seal is his mark, his insignia of ownership. And then the good news just keeps getting better. Please don't split hairs on theology. I know everything's out there. But the seal is irreversible. When we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, no one can take away his seal. This goes way back into Old Testament times. In the book of Esther, chapter 8 and verse 8, Esther said, you write yourselves a decree, talking to the king, concerning the Jews, as you please, in the king's name, and you seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. So when the seal of the Holy Spirit is placed on our life, it's irrevocable, irreversible. It's called eternal life. No one can reverse what the king has written. Also, another example in the Old Testament, when King Darius sent out a decree that everybody should bow down and worship his image. And he was tricked and deceived by conniving people who were around him. You ought to make it a law, King Darius, that if anybody refuses, they'll be thrown into a cage of hungry lions. And so the king signed off on it. And he sealed the decree with the authority of his signet ring, which bore the seal of the king. And he lived to regret it quickly because he found out that Daniel was the one. And he liked Daniel, but because of the law he had sealed with his authority, even he couldn't reverse it. How strong is the seal of God? The guarantee of God that he owns us, that he takes responsibility for us, and all the good that he's done for us up to now is just a small amount compared to what he guarantees is coming, because we're marked and branded by his seal. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. You know the story of the two brothers, the older, the younger brother. The younger was a prodigal. One day, he said to his wealthy father, "Father, I want to leave," sort of like Prince Harry, just occurred to me. "I want to leave. Give me what's coming to me, and I'm out of here. Life is calling me way out there. So much living to do." So the father gave his younger son his inheritance. And you know that story. He went into a faraway country and he squandered all of his money. As long as he had money, he had plenty of friends and he kept the party going. But the moment his money ran out and he heard his stomach growl, he knew he had to do something. And so he found a job feeding pigs. And he wound up eating the same food the pigs were eating, and he lived in the pig pen with the pigs. And the Bible says one day he came to himself. He came to himself. He woke up in that dirty mess, and he remembered the luxuries and the comforts and all of the benefits that came with living in the Father's house. And he said, "Even the hired staff at my father's house lives a much better life than I live." He said, "I will go back to my father's house." So you know the story. He did, and that father was watching for the son to come home. And when the father saw the son walking toward the house, the father stood up and said to his servants, "Go get me a robe. Go get me some sandals. And go get me a ring. For this son that was lost is now home." The robe cleaned that boy up. It's a robe in our compensation of righteousness. No matter how filthy the hogs were we were wallowing with, this robe of righteousness takes away all the filthiness. We're given a robe. We're given the righteousness of God. And the sandals, we no longer have to even walk through dust and dirt unprotected. There is a covering on the lower part of our body from the world we live in. And then this ring, that's the most important part. because the ring was a signet ring. The father said, go get me that ring. And the father gave that ring, the family crest imprinted on it, back to the son. The question is, even though the son is back home in the father's house, does he get his inheritance back? And the answer is, he doesn't get the same inheritance back. He's already squandered that, but because of the ring, and with that ring comes all of the authority that the father has to transact business, then this prodigal son, now that he's back in the father's house, has the right and the opportunity to earn back everything he lost and more by using his father's name. That's how important the seal is. Romans 8, beginning at verse 35, says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'll ask it this way. Is there anything that can break the seal God has placed on my life and on yours, claiming us as his own? Can tribulation do it? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Our sword. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, none of these things can break the seal and God's guarantee of our inheritance on our life. Now, all of these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, all of these things have tested the power of the sealer. And none of these things can break the seal. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand.